Hi, thank you for visiting the Remnant Church podcast. We hope that this message will be seed planted in the fertile ground of your heart, watered a seed that has already been planted, and that the Lord of the harvest will bring the increase. May it take roots downward and fruit grow upward and outward. Let us join the message already in progress.
But as many of you know, last week I was unable to be here because I was actually helping out some of our Kingdom family. Towards the end of the week last week, I received a text from Pastor Chase Holsenbach, who pastors Legacy Church in Rome. A lot of you know of him. He's been here on a Sunday night and spoke before, but he came to our men's gathering in June. We had men's gatherings in June. He came and spoke to the men. But he reached out and said, "Hey, man, I'm about to ask you a huge favor." He said, I'm sick. I got this upper respiratory thing going on. I know I'm not going to be able to preach. We have two services Sunday, and I know you're going to try to have to find some. When I ask you this, you're going to have to find someone to cover your service, but would you come preach and cover the services for me?" He said, "I know I'm asking you a lot, but could you do it?" And so I said, I told Amanda, I said, "We got to help the kingdom, you know?" And so I called Justin, and I said, "Hey, this is the situation." Told him the kingdom needed help. I wanted to help, and I would go there and preach if he would prepare something for here. And, of course, he agreed because he spoke last week. But you know what he said to me on the phone? He said, "I just feel sorry for you." I said, "Why?" He's like, "Because you're going to miss it here." And you know what? I did miss it here. I really did. I miss being here. I miss seeing all of you guys. But we had two wonderful services at Legacy. Now, I did go back and watch the live stream from here last week. This week, Justin and I had a one-on-one meeting about his announcements. And I basically told him he went too far when he brought his hair into the mix and the lack thereof of mine. So we got that under control. But didn't Justin do a fantastic job last week? I got several calls. I even got texts and messages on Facebook saying how great of a job he did and how that word was just for them on prayer. So this is what I know. The Lord had each of us in the right place at the right time last week. Amen? He had Justin here at Remnant speaking the word he gave him, and you guys were here listening. He had me at Legacy speaking the word, and those that were there listening. And so the message I'm actually going to speak to you today is the message I had planned on preaching here last week. But the Lord saw fit that I should speak that to Legacy. And I thought, well, Lord, so I should get another sermon for Remnant this week and start studying for that. And because I had some things lined up, and he said, "No, I want you to speak it here this week because now, today, is the right place and the right time for this word." And so the title of today's sermon is this: The Right Place at the Right Time. And you could add this subtitle: There is power in relationship. There's fellowship in relationship. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to start out and I'm going to read you three different portions of Scripture. But as I read these three different portions of Scripture, I want you to realize the progression that's being made and make a connection of the place that they are in each time when we read. Let me tell you this. I don't believe in coincidence. I don't believe in happenstance. I don't believe in lady luck. I believe in divine appointments by God. Amen? And I believe the more in tune we are in our relationship with Jesus Christ, the more we will recognize those moments, the more we'll see those divine appointments, right? And we won't just recognize them as happy accidents, but we'll see them as glorious moments where we've been set to be in a place for such a time as this. And we've been put in a right place at a right time for such a time as this, so God can display His grace, His love, His mercy, His power through us, His vessels, His representatives here on this earth. Can I get an amen? So let's start out and let's read. Let's go to the Scripture. I'm going to start in Luke 22. I'm going to read 5-6 verses there. Then I'm going to go to Acts 1, and I'm going to go to Acts 2. So we'll start with Luke 22, verses 10 through 15. Says, "And he," talking about Jesus, "said to them, 'Behold, when you have entered the city,'" he's talking to his disciples, "'a man will meet you carrying a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house which he enters.'" So Jesus is being very detailed right here. Would you agree? "You'll see a man carrying a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house which he enters. Then you shall say to the master of the house, 'The teacher says to you, where is the guest room where I may eat Passover with my disciples?' Then he will show you a large furnished upper room." You can circle, underline, highlight, upper room. "There, make ready." "So they went and found it just as he said to them, and they prepared the Passover. When the hour had come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him. Then he said to them, 'With fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer.'" Now, let's go to Acts chapter 1, and I'm going to read verses 12, 13, and 14. It says, "Then they," the disciples, "returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. And when they had entered, they went up into the upper room where they were staying. Peter, James, John, and Andrew, Philip, and Thomas, Bartholomew, and Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, the son of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers." And then go to Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Very popular scripture. "When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all in one accord in one place." You know what that place was? The upper room. "And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire and sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance." Now, how many of us have said this morning or have heard said, "You were just in the right place at the right time"? I remember I was a young man, probably 18 years old, 17, 18 years old, and one Sunday night after church in Calhoun, we had went to eat at the Shoney's on Redbud Road, which no longer exists. It's a sad thing because that breakfast buffet, But we went one Sunday night after church, and there were some people from the church that were there, some families that were already there, and we were walking by saying hey to some of them, and I was talking to a gentleman, and his son, who was a toddler, was in a high chair, and he was just kind of wild, just being a toddler, you know. And I was kind of talking, but I was watching him, and I started to walk away, and as I started to walk away, I saw this kid out of the corner of my eye just topple over, and he was going head first towards the ground, and I just reached, boom, grabbed him by his little overalls, and his head was that far from the ground, and his daddy said, "You were in the right place at the right time." Right? Anybody ever experienced that? You were in the right place at the right time. You ever said that to anybody? You ever had that said about you? Whether it was to receive a blessing, to be a blessing, to help someone need, or even save a life, I've heard that phrase so many times in my life. So how many this morning would say, "Well, Pastor Andrew, I would like to be in the right place at the right time"? Okay, we have four people. So y'all want to be in the wrong place at the wrong time. I could give the altar call right now, and all but four of you should come up here. How many of you want to be in the right place at the right time? Amen? Yeah, I want to be too. So we just finished up some powerful worship here. We have powerful worship every week in, week out. But do you know why we worship him? Do you know why we worship him? We worship him because we have relationship with him. Listen, with God, you cannot have relationship without worship, and you will not really worship. You can sing songs all day long, but you really will not worship without relationship. Amen? And something we've got to know is that in our relationship with Jesus Christ, there is power. There's power in our relationship with him. There's power for many things for us to do through him. As Jesus sent out his disciples in Luke 10, this is what he said to them. Luke 10, 19, he says, I give to you authority. Some translations read power to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. How many know that God's power is greater than the enemy's power? Big God, little bitty devil. Big God, that's a Pastor Reed shout out right there. He used to say it all the time. Big God, somebody say it with me. Big God, little bitty devil, right? So he's given us power over the enemy. He's given us authority over the enemy. In Mark 16, 15, Jesus said, he gives the Great Commission. He says, go into all the world, preach the gospel, right? He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. But this is what it goes on to say in verse 17. These signs shall follow them who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. I'm not handing out snakes today, I promise you. He gives us wisdom too, amen? They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Here's my point. There is a power that comes to us when we are in relationship with Jesus. Yet it is not our power, it is not our authority, but it's his. He delegates it to us as his representatives here on this earth. And that actually comes from us yielding to the leading and the guiding of the Holy Spirit in our life. But that only comes through relationship with Jesus. This is what Jesus said in John 15. Y'all know I love John. We spent a whole year preaching out of the Gospel of John, right? John 15, 5 through 8. Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, take notice how many times he says abides. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. How many times did he say abiding? Anybody count? Good job. I'm proud of you, girl. Good job. Four, okay? That abiding that Jesus is talking about is relationship. It's relationship. And one of the effects of the power of our relationship with Jesus Christ is that it has the ability to put us in the right place at the right time. How can we know that's true? Psalm 37, 23, the steps of a good man, the steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. That word ordered means they've already been prepared. It's already been set up. It's already been made ready. It's already been fixed and appointed and put into place. That should let us know that he's already planned out our steps for us. If we're in relationship with him, he's planned out our steps for us. Our destiny has already been prepared for us. My favorite scripture, I quote it all the time, Jeremiah 1:5. Before you were in your mother's womb, I knew you, and I sanctified you. I set you apart. I called you to do a work. I've given you gifts. I've given you talents. I've given you abilities. Your destiny is laid out. And so what we got to know, the blessings he's got for us in this life, he's already fixed in place for us. And if I walk in his ways according to his word and his commandments, and if I abide in him and I allow his words to abide in me, then it will take me to the right places at the right time. Amen? And somebody may say, well, Pastor Andrew, what about these trials that I've gone through? What about the trials I'm going through? What about the hard times that I'm going through right now or that I might face? Can I tell you, I once heard it said that the sunshine means nothing till you've seen the dark of night, right? You don't really appreciate the warmth and the brightness of the sun till you've been engulfed in darkness. But if you've been engulfed in darkness and you see the sun shining bright and that warm hitting your bald head, not everybody can say that, but when it hits your bald head and it's warm after it's been cold, there's nothing like it, right? You see, you and I, we need to realize this morning that He loves us enough that if this life should take us to the valley of the shadow of death, he would be there with us. And not only would he be there with us, he'd walk through it with us, right? And when you come out of that with him, he'll be with us the whole time with his rod and his staff, comforting us, walking with us. Say, hey, it's going to be all right. I got you through this dark night. We're going to make it to the mountaintop. And when you get to the mountaintop with him, it'll seem that much more glorious, right? When you go through things like that with him and you arrive in a place of destiny or a right place at the right time, it'll be that much sweeter. And you'll be able to say with Paul, for I reckon, right? I reckon the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us. They put it on the screen. Good job, Romans 8. Listen, relationship with him will put you in the right place at the right time. He told his disciples in Luke 22, which we read, he said, he told them where to go, he told them what to look for, and what to do to find the right place for Passover. And he said, when you find it, I want you to get it ready. I want you to prepare that place for fellowship with me. It takes a prepared place for fellowship and relationship with Jesus. Takes a prepared place. Fellas, when you're wanting to court a lady, I know we don't use that word anymore. If you're wanting to holla at a shoddy, y'all got me? All right? If you're wanting to take a girl out, right? You don't just take her any old place. If you're wanting to come into a relationship and start a relationship, you take her somewhere nice. You take her somewhere romantic. I'm going to issue a challenge. Amanda and I, we've been busy here lately, but I called Julie this week, and I said, Friday, and I said, hey, I said, I need you to watch. Evan's old enough. He's just on the road all the time. He's with his girlfriend, taking her to nice places. But I said, you got any plans? I want you to watch Elisha. I want to take my wife on a date. Because it'd been a while since we'd been on a date. Husbands, don't stop dating your wives. Find time and take your wife on a date. Can I get any women to give me an amen? Unless y'all don't want to date them no more, right? They're like, no, tell him to leave me alone. Tell him to go golfing or fishing. But if you're trying to come in, you take her to a place that's nice. It's romantic. You take her where the table is set, where the candles are lit. The lighting's just right. There's soft music in the background. You take her to a place that's been prepared for the growth or for the start of a relationship. They prepared a place in that upper room for the fellowship and for relationship with him. You know what 1 Corinthians 13 tells us, or 1 Corinthians 3:16 says, know you not that you are a temple of God? You are a temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwells in you. This body is a place. This body is a temple that should be prepared to have fellowship and relationship with him. It reminds me of that old song. Some of you will know it. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary. If you know it, sing it. Pure and holy, tried and true. I'll be a living sanctuary. This is a place that is to be prepared for fellowship and relationship with him. Let me read you what James said. I love James because James just, he keeps it real. He's unapologetically honest and bold and truthful. This is what he says. This is James 4, verse 4. He starts out with, adulterers and adulteresses. Put the exclamation mark on there. He just calls it like he sees it. Do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you think that the scripture says in vain, the spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously, But he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near, right? Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. To sum all of that up, I'll say this. To have a true and real relationship with God, there must be a place that he can abide, right? And here is the crazy good news about God. If we allow him, he will come in and he cleans up and prepares the place for us so he can come abide if we let him. And he'll do it because he longs and he desires to have relationship with you. He sits down at this table with them in the upper room in Luke 22, and this is what he says. He says, I have fervently desired to eat this Passover with you. Some translation reads, earnestly. I've earnestly desired. Do you realize this morning that God earnestly and fervently desires to have fellowship and relationship with you personally? Personally, one-on-one with you. See, I don't think that we've quite got to the place where we understand that he desires to be with us way more than we desire to be with him. Yet James says, hey, draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. Listen, his desire to sit and eat and drink with his disciples at this moment was not stemmed from his necessity to eat or drink, but it came from knowing that soon and very soon he was going to lay down his life for them and for us. And he didn't say, I'm getting ready to be gone and you need to take advantage of this opportunity of fellowship with me. Instead, he made himself available and took every opportunity to share himself with them. He made himself available. And now you fast forward to today with us, where there should be a demand on us to take opportunity to fellowship, spend some time, and have relationship with him. But instead, it seems that he still works around our schedules. He still works around our plans. He still works around our calendar. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Y'all got quiet on me now. Listen, at the end of the day, you wake up early in the morning, you're late for work, you don't get to spend any personal time with the Lord, you didn't pray, you didn't read your Bible, you didn't spend any time in worship, and you just got to get to your responsibilities, and you're doing this. So you finish all your jobs and responsibilities, you get home at the end of the day, you sit down just to take a sigh, a deep breath, rest and relax, and then all of a sudden you feel that nudge on the inside of you. Hey, I'd love to spend some time with you today. Did you read today? Did you pray today? Did you worship today? How he would love to spend some time with us if we only had time for him. If we only had time for him, he would love the opportunity to spend some time with you. It's him that waits to the end of every day, maybe the end of every week, patiently, just waiting for you to find the strength, find the time, find the energy. He waits while we're picking and griping about this and griping about that, still saying he'll nudge us. He'll wait through our Sunday morning routines, even in here, and say, hey, he'll nudge us with his presence. Say, hey, I'd love to spend some time with you personally. I would just love that opportunity. He longs to have relationship and fellowship with us. Why? Because he loves us more than we could ever imagine. And he knows that once we make that connection with him in fellowship and relationship, we're going to tap into life that we've never experienced before. We're going to tap into joy that's unspeakable and full of glory. We're going to tap into peace that passes understanding, that blows people's mind and guards our hearts and it guards our mind. We're going to tap into life more abundant. Come on, that's what he said. He said, I come to give life and life more abundantly. That's what we tap into with relationship with him. Why? How? Because there's power in relationship with him. And when that connection is made in relationship, in fellowship, that's when our paths are made straight for us to walk into the right place at the right time. That's where we have eyes to see and ears to hear the direction and to look for what he's told us to look for so we can end up at the right place at the right time. It was the same disciples that he sent out to find a place of fellowship, find a place of relationship in that upper room, that after he was arrested and he was taken to be crucified, they all scattered, ran, and hid. And after he was crucified, he died. They put him in a tomb. They rolled a stone in front of it. 3 days later, he got up. Come on, somebody. He got up, right? He got up. And then he walked the earth for 40 days, right? You read the book of Acts. He walked the earth for 40 days. And during that time, he began to remind them, hey, I told you this would happen, but I also told you something else would happen. There's a promise I've given you. And so upon being reminded of that promise for them to wait on, they returned to a place, but they didn't return to any old place, right? They went back to a place of fellowship. They went back to the place of relationship. They went back to that upper room where they sat and they talked and they ate together. And it was at that place of fellowship, it was at that place of relationship with him that they received, they were endued with power through the Holy Spirit. And what I'm trying to say to you this morning is this. If you're in need of power or strength, you got to return to a place of fellowship and relationship with him. If you're in need of joy or peace, you got to return to a place of fellowship and relationship with him. If you feel lost, you feel like you're at a dead end, you feel hopeless, then you got to return to a place of fellowship and relationship with him. If you are waiting on a promise from the Lord, then you get back into that place of fellowship and relationship with him. You begin to commune with him, and I promise you he'll endue you with power to see that promise come to pass. In the very last book of our Bible, we call it Revelation. It was originally called the Revelation of Jesus Christ. The whole book is actually a letter, and it's addressed to seven churches in Asia Minor, which today would be modern day Turkey. We talked about this. I did a series called Letters from God. Maybe the first of last year. But the reason it was addressed to the seven churches, seven major churches, is because the seven major churches were on the largest trade route of that day. So if these seven churches got this letter and were told to spread the news to all others, because of their position and because of their influence, the Lord knew that it would get done. That's why he had the Apostle John, John the Revelator, send it to him, right? He knew it would get done, and guess what? It got done, right? We got the letter today. 2,000 years later, we got it. What he sent out, he sent it to the right place. Place is at the right time. The Lord knows what he's doing, amen? So he had John the Apostle write this the revelation of Jesus Christ. He appeared to John. He had him write this, and he had him send this letter to the seven churches. But within the main letter, in chapters 2 and 3 of Revelation, Jesus specifically and individually addresses these churches. He addresses some of the things that they are doing right, and then he addresses some of the things they were doing wrong. And then he says, you're doing this wrong, but let me tell you how to fix what you're doing wrong. So in every letter to every church, he offers them a commendation. Hey, you got this right. He offers them correction. This is what you got wrong. And then he offers them counsel. This is how you need to fix it. But the first church that he addresses is the church of Ephesus. It's the same church where that Paul wrote to the book of Ephesians, right? But the church of Ephesus, and this is what he says to Ephesus. I want to just read it to you. Says Revelation chapter 2, 1 through 5, to the angel of the church of Ephesus write. That word angel, that Greek word, means messenger, which basically means to the pastor, the one who speaks the message at the church. To the pastor of the church of Ephesus write. These things say he who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. This is what Jesus is saying. This is your Lord and Savior talking. You need to listen. That's what he's just letting them know, hey, this is me talking to you. This isn't John, this is me talking to you. I'm giving you this message personally. Verse 2 is the commendation. He says, I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil. Amanda, you can come. And you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. And you have persevered and have patience, and have labored for my name's sake, and have not become weary. Here's the correction, verse 4. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Here's his counsel, verse 5. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen. Repent. Do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place, unless you repent. This is what Jesus does. He says, hey, Church of Ephesus, good job. There is a lot that you got going on, that you got going for you, and a lot that you are doing right. And I love that. Good job. Your works have been good. You've worked very hard. You've worked diligently. I see that. It has not gone unnoticed. You've been patient. You're against evil, just as I am. I'm all for that. That's great. You've even exercised good judgment. You've exercised good discernment in those who claim to be of God but really are not. And you've not allowed them to deceive my people. Thank you for that. That's great. You've endured. You've persevered. You've worked diligently. I'm so proud of you for all of this. But nevertheless, I got this against you. You left your first love. What's he saying? He's saying, you left me. You've got so busy doing things for me or thinking about things for me that you forgot about fellowship and relationship with me personally. And all those things that you are doing are great, but it all amounts to nothing if you don't have a relationship with me. That's why he said in John 15, he said, without me, you can do nothing. Right? The reality is, there's a lot of things we can do without him. But the thing is, when we do them, it amounts to nothing if we do it without Jesus. We can get involved, do all these things in the church, do all these great things. But if he is not the center, if we don't have relationship with him, it amounts to nothing. It amounts to nothing. First love is the most important. Here was his counsel to them. First, he says, remember. Remember. Sometimes the remedy is to remember. So many times he told the Israelites, build this as a monument. Why? So you can remember what I've done. Sometimes the best remedy is to remember what he's done. Right? Remember when you first got saved. Remember how when you first got saved, how you would worship. Remember how, when you first got saved and you first came into a relationship with him, how excited you were and how you would pray. Remember how excited you were and you would get into his word. Remember how you would have fellowship with him and just spend some time with him. That's what he says. He says, remember that and then repent. Change the way you've been thinking about that and come back to a place of fellowship. Come back to a place of relationship with me. And then he says, I'll endue you with power to do all those things and they'll be more effective. We can do all those things. Remember that Jesus said, he tells a story and he says, look, there's going to be people that say, I cast out demons in your name. I did all this. And he'll say, depart from me. I never knew you. You can get so busy doing things for God that you don't even have a relationship with him. And he's saying, come back to a place of fellowship with me. I remember, I've shared this story many times. I'll never get tired of it because it's part of my testimony. But I remember when I first committed my life and my heart to Christ on a Sunday night, I even questioned if God was real. I sat on the front row of East Calhoun Church of God after most everybody had left, and I said, Lord, I don't even know if you're real, but if you are, let me feel you. And the only explanation I can give you is I felt him. I felt him more real in my life than I'd ever felt him in that moment. And my life was forever changed. And I remember 16 years old. Man, I was just on fire for the Lord. I grew up in a house. I have three siblings. I got two older sisters, a younger brother, then my mom and dad. It's a house, two bedrooms, one bath. Shared a bedroom my entire life with my siblings. Never had my own bedroom until I bought my first house. And there was nothing wrong with that. Actually, it made us a very close-knit family, and I thank God for it. But finding private time was a little difficult. But I remember I was so hungry for God, I wanted to just spend some time with Him. So I remember I'd wait till everybody went to bed. When everybody was in bed, I'd get up, I'd take a portable CD player, I'd go to our kitchen, I'd turn around a kitchen chair, I'd get on my knees, cut on worship music, and I'd just begin to pray, and I'd begin to worship Him, and I would just spend time with Him. Those are some of the most special, glorious moments in my life, and I've been in some great church services, but nothing trumps those alone times with the Lord. Nothing beats that. And as I was making notes on this the past couple weeks, the Lord said, Andrew, you've been busy. I said, yeah. He said, don't get too busy and forget about me. And I was just very convicted, and I just hit my knees, prayed to the Lord, spent some time with Him. I'm going to give you that opportunity today. I'll tell you this. I believe that you are in the right place at the right time this morning. I don't believe any of us are here by accident, but it's on purpose with a purpose. And in some capacity, I believe this word is for every single one of us. And the next thing I believe is the next right place. And the next right time is, for all of us, is this altar where we can take time to remember, take time to repent. We can take time to return to a place of fellowship and relationship with Him. If you would, just bow your heads, close your eyes. If you're this morning, you say, Pastor Andrew, I'm not in a place of relationship with Jesus that I need to be in. I've never even been in relationship with Him. I don't really know Him personally, but I need to get to know Him. If that's you this morning, just throw up your hand, put it right back down. Throw up your hand, put it right back down. Maybe you're here this morning, you say, Pastor Andrew, I've been saved, but I know I'm not in a place in fellowship and relationship with the Lord that I once was. And I need to return to my first love this morning. If that's you, just throw your hand up, put it right back down. If you're here this morning, you say, Pastor Andrew, there was something in this. I don't know what portion, but there was a portion of this word that was for me. If that's you, throw your hand up, put it right back down. If y'all would, just stand with me. Look, we can do all sort of things. But if we don't take time to fellowship with Him, it amounts to nothing. I'm going to give you an opportunity to come fellowship with Him. Spend some time with Him. And if the Spirit is dealing with you, if the Holy Spirit is dealing with you, maybe He's giving you that nudge. I would encourage you, don't ignore that. Respond. Respond. He's nudging you for a reason. He nudged me. Listen, I preach these things to myself before I ever preach them to you. And I repent. I say, Lord, forgive me. And this is a time where we come and we return and we remember and we fellowship with Him. So as they begin to sing, if you raised your hand for any reason, maybe you should have but didn't, that's okay. As she sings, I want you to come. Come fellowship with Him.
Thank you for listening to Remnant Church. Our service times are Sunday at 11 a.m. and Sunday evening at 6 p.m. and Wednesdays at 7 p.m. We would love for you to visit with us in person at 5134 Joe Frank Harris Parkway in Adairsville, Georgia. Until then, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face shine on you and be gracious to you. And may the Lord turn His face toward you and give you peace. In Jesus' name, amen.